Dogs make the best companions for humans. This podcast aims to help make humans better companions for their dogs. Welcome to the Beru Podcast, a modern lifestyle podcast for dogs and their people. I'm your host, Charlotte Bain. I've been caring for other people's dogs for more than 15 years. And while I've learned a lot in my career, I definitely don't know it all. So I've collected an ever-evolving roster of amazing dog people, and I learn new things from them all the time. Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Beru Podcast. In this episode, I jump behind the brand of Tito's Handmade Vodka with a lovely chat with Beth Belanti-Pander, Tito's director of its Vodka for Dog People program, which supports thousands of pet-focused nonprofits a year to help enhance their events, campaigns, and their missions. If you're like me, you may have noticed they brand themselves as Vodka for Dog People, but I really had no idea of the great contributions that they make to animal welfare. So, let's jump into the chat. Thank you so much for reaching out to me, because I'm so embarrassed to say that I didn't know all of the wonderful work that Tito's did. I'm a fan of Tito's vodka whenever I imbibe. That's my go-to choice. And it's originally it was because, you know, it's gluten-free and I'm gluten-free and it says vodka for dog people on it. And obviously that was something that attracted me, but it's so much more than like just good marketing. You guys do so much for animal welfare. Your whole vision is around dogs, and it's such a dog-friendly culture in your brand. And before we jump into all the wonderful work that you guys do for animals, I want to first know a little bit about you and your journey with Tito's Vodka, and a little bit about the history, a little bit behind the brand of why vodka. Why vodka, and why vodka and dogs? Right. And where did it kind of come from?
Yeah. Well, why vodka would be, Tito is has a degree in geology and geophysics. So he's kind of a science inventor type of guy. But he was working in a bunch of different careers with that, and was making, was flavoring other vodkas for holiday gifts. And so people started calling him Vodka Guy, and he kept saying, no, I'm a geology guy. So eventually he thought, well, why hasn't anyone gotten a permit in Texas, you know, to make vodka? And so he learned the code better than the state did. And eventually they had to give him the permit. So he was the first person to legally make spirits in Texas. So that's how vodka happened. And why dogs is Tito is a dog lover, and I am a dog lover and the child of dog rescuers. And so where the distillery is out in Southeast Austin, we get a lot of stray and feral dogs out there. A lot of people just don't have fences and they're running around. So there's an overpopulation of strays, and they smelled Tito's dog's food in the early days. It was Tito and that dog in the shack. The dogs would smell the food and come around, and he would, you know, get them fixed up and find a home for them. And then when I got on board 20 years ago, you know, I was already doing that, volunteering at different rescues and projects. So I'm like, well, I'm just doing that at work now. I mean, it was natural. We never had a conversation about why dogs, but he loved his dog. We call, you know, Dog Joe was his dog then. And she's like the founder, you know, because she started attracting the strays. And then we are up to 132 strays now.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So do you have a sanctuary there?
No, or how does that it's work? Not a rescuer sanctuary. It's just the distillery is dog friendly. So we have several different dog yards, and the employees bring some of their dogs to work. But we also have like a holding area for the strays, just so that they're safe and we can kind of get them treated and everything and not introduce them to other dogs at work. So what we do is, at this point, you know, internally, I can usually, someone at work will fall in love with them and adopt them. Right. So they very, very much usually stay in the family. Yeah. So that's how dogs. And then when we got offices, I was bringing my dog to work when I traveled. Mm-hmm. I had my dog. And so we just always made sure, you know, that whatever we were doing, we made it to be dog friendly. You know, if we were traveling right. in the car, we had a dog friendly hotel, or, you know, once we got right. the office, I was alone there for a while and brought my dog with me. So like, I never asked permission, but you know, Tito's never, it was, you know, a dog person too. So,
right.
That's how it evolved.
And this was kind of before, now it's, you know, it's a, people are really starting to bring their dogs into the workplace and kind of they're becoming more part of our daily work life for a lot of lucky folks, you know, office life there. It's becoming more dog friendly. So this was before all of that. So when did you come on board and what exactly?
Well, I started helping Tito out 20 years ago. And in the beginning, there were so few of us that we all just wore a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. But my passion in life is marketing and branding. And the philanthropy was just automatic because we went to a lot of nonprofit events and I would just bring vodka with me. In the early days, Tito would bring vodka with him. And that's kind of how, you know, there was no marketing budget or anything. It was truly word of mouth, person by person trying it. And then we were also just showing up for nonprofits that we really were involved with and cared about. And so that was just how we operated. And mm-hmm. it now that things, you know, are going well, it's still in our DNA. We're just able to reach a lot more groups and people and animals.
Right.
So I was in the, like, I did the, a lot of things. I did marketing the whole time. And eventually, you know, since Vodka for Dog People was my hobby, you know, putting these dogs that we save and want to get adopted, I put them on social media. Mm-hmm. They start to get more likes than the vodka. And so right. everyone's like, hey, you've got to, you know, bring the dogs to their own area at Tito's so that we could concentrate on the vodka part. So that's how we got vodkafordogpeople.com. And we were already starting to brand leashes and things. And we wanted to give back to the nonprofit that was helping us get all of these dogs spayed and neutered affordably, because we didn't have a budget for that either in the beginning. So we wanted to give back to them for helping us out. And that's Emancipet. And they're still a legacy partner where a lot of our sales of Tito's merch, you can pick for them to be the beneficiary. And they're trying to bring that nonprofit model of affordable spay neuter and vet care so that everyone can afford to have a pet in their family. So that is kind of how Vodka for Dog People was born. And then our local team said, well, we want to do dog stuff in our town. And I was like, well, I'm too busy. I'm doing marketing and content yeah. and stuff. They're like, well, guess what? Now you're going to do Vodka for Dog People, because there was a lot of dog friendly bars and restaurants also coming up. And so we were able to have people and dogs, you know, having events, and some of the sales from Tito's will, you know, can go to the nonprofit that we have on site. So we work a lot kind of sponsoring those kinds of things too. And then the galas you see, and really large scale events too. And we also do a lot in natural disaster response, like in transport, flying adoptable dogs out of areas that are going to be hit by hurricanes. And again, like, spay neuters are number one, you know, in affordability. That's like our real mission. Because although we do work with rescues, we want to not have to rescue as much. So
absolutely. And that's where spay and neutering becomes incredibly important. I know. And it's a huge problem here even in the city of Los Angeles. But I know when you get out into a bit more of a rural environment, that tends to be more, and I'm assuming the distillery is out a ways maybe.
And, yep, it is.
And what, can you talk a little bit more about Emancipet a bit? Do you, and how that can, how we can support them and how they support the communities and how you support Emancipet? Yeah. That makes right. any sense.
Yes. So we support them through supporting their events and through, some of the proceeds from our retail and our web store going to them.
Okay.
They Got kind it. Of started out around the same time we did, and they were small and they had some, you know, they're serving the city of Austin first and then rural communities. They had a trailer that would go around and do surgeries. And so that was really helpful for us too. And then, you know, after a while, I got to know them and we were starting to donate vodka. And we said, you know, this is such a gift and a treasure for Austin, you know, and the surrounding areas for everyone to be able to afford to take care of their animals.
Right.
Like, what would you do, you know, if you could expand this? And so I think they're up to more than 12 clinics now, and it is Texas and Philadelphia so far.
Oh, interesting.
But they also
yeah.
have like a new school, they call it, where they can teach other nonprofits that want to offer those same services, how it kind of works here. And so we just really believe in them and their philosophy and their solution based strategy. So we're just hoping that footprint can just go everywhere.
Right. Because if we spay and neuter our pets, right, it reduces the impact in the shelter system. It reduces the, you know, the impact that people with unwanted litters of dogs, you know, what are they going to do with them? And they're either going to we're having a big serious problem here in Los Angeles right now with the overpopulation in the shelter system. And what happens is they sadly will have to either just let them go on the street or turn them into an overcrowded shelter. And we can prevent all of that by spaying and neutering our pets. It's really like the foundation of the overpopulation issue right now. So what
yes.
great work that they do. So thank yes. you for supporting them and helping out in so many wonderful ways. Do you want to touch a little bit more on, I know you have a lot of, you guys do, you have like a distillery dog art show. I mean, everything about your company is dogs.
Yes.
There's so many things to talk about. I don't even know what angle to go for. So
there is so many. There's so many angles to this. The distillery dog art show was an idea we had to celebrate our 25th anniversary last year.
Okay.
You can see the dog behind me is my coworker's
Cute.
Dog. We did an amazing photo event for dogs and for dogs named Tito, which is another story. But we decided to pick 25 artists to interpret 25 of the 130 or so dogs that we've rescued. And so all original artwork, and it's traveled around a bunch, and we want to keep it going. So we have a lot of ideas on how that will evolve next as well. But it's beautiful, and the artists just captured them without even knowing their complete story. Like, so it was almost spooky. It was so cool. So that was very meaningful. Yes, very meaningful.
And then the proceeds, are these for sale or they're just for the individual owners who have the rest?
No,
of the
we're keeping them. We're keeping them, but we're hoping that this will start inspire more of our teams and communities to have more live art of dog mm-hmm. painting mm-hmm. at events so that those kind of pieces can be auctioned off for nonprofits.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, we want to see this move into a lot of different directions. And then we need to keep adding dogs to it because, you know, we're older than 25 now and
yeah.
we have 130 dogs to choose from. So it could go on forever.
Right.
And then also, you know, there's a vet shortage right now on top of everything else.
Yes.
So we're also, you know, trying to empower nonprofits to be able to hire vets because mm-hmm. there's a lot of competition with the big chains and whatnot. So it's hard for them to compete to pay them the same. So we kind of are always trying to, you know, stay on top of that. I would say, you know, Vodka for Dog People is, you know, working with our sales teams so that we can sell more vodka to help more animals. And by the way, it's not just dogs. We do work with wildlife centers and, you know, we've done alpaca rescue and donkey rescue. The bats here in Austin, we have a rehab
wow.
that we help out. And we also, you know, work with these nonprofits trying to really dig in. Like, we're not the experts, but we want to know how best we can support real change and solutions. So we're mm-hmm. constantly trying to figure out, you know, what are the gaps that we can help fill in or get the word out about. So, you know, another thing is when people can afford their pets, they're less likely to have to give them up over medical
Absolutely.
And that kind of thing. So that's really important too. So we just need to make sure that nonprofits have the vets that they need to offer the services that all the owners need so that they can afford, you know, to have a family member. Cost should not prevent a family from having a pet.
Absolutely. And there's a shortage of veterinarians because of since the pandemic, essentially, there was a high rate of burnout, correct? And an influx of dog ownership. And so both of those.
That's part of it. Yes. It's also
just a rather reason. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the price of vet school, I think, and how many students they take at a time. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it is. And it's also, you know, we just need more diversity in the veterinary field. We need much more representation. And so we just need to support anyone wanting to go to vet school, you know, to be able to afford it and pay off their loans and go work where they want to work.
So how do veterinarians, do they contact you or is it just a...
No, we just work with nonprofits. We don't work in any kind of pet business. We're just trying to empower the nonprofits to get what they need.
Got it. That makes sense. Do you have dogs of your own?
Yes.
Is that one behind you? I thought so. I couldn't really tell.
He's sad today because my other Chihuahua is getting a dental right now. She's very tiny and young and I'm a little nervous today. So she's getting her dental. She's my pandemic adoption. So she's not here, but she's a tiny red Chihuahua rescued here in Texas. And then I have one of the distillery dogs. I've had two so far in my 20 years. And the first one lived to be 17 and she passed away a few years ago. Yeah. The one that I have now is Taki. And so Taki was one of the feral dogs and was so wild that no one would adopt her. Like she was just a little too much. So since the distillery, people were there all the time working, we all kind of raised her as a village at the distillery. And she loved being there. She loved her job. She loved golf carts. She loved working in security. She loved having all that attention, but she is getting up there in age. So I have retired her to my house so that I can, you know, just watch over her a little more closely. And she's really good for me. I know I always have to have a big walking dog.
Yeah.
You know, I've fallen in love with these littles, which is shocking because I always had big dogs, but, you know, it's just really great, you know, to finally have Taki with me every single day after taking care of her for 10 years. So I'm very, very grateful that I have her now here.
I love that.
I took her back there to visit because everyone misses her a lot.
Right.
I'm trying to find her an old golf cart so that she can live that out too again, because I know she misses it.
Aww. What kind of dog is she? Did you
mention? She's a giant German Shepherd Doberman. She's yellow. Yeah, I did embark on her and all these prized show dog Dobermans keep coming up. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Who knew?
That's great. Well, she's very lucky to have found you as well.
Yes. And a lot of the dogs look just like her that we rescue. And so I'm going to start doing DNA testing on all of them to see if they're all kind of coming from the same place. Cause they're
who's doing, where's this?
There's a lot of yellow shepherd mixes, like I would say. And I don't know if you can see it. There's a picture over here of a shepherd mix. That was the one I had, for a long time. So she's a distillery dog too.
So you think they just wander into the distillery. That's how it works. They just wander by the smell. They can just smell the other dogs and smell the food. Yeah.
I think now, yes, perhaps. I think it's so rural, you know, and it's just the neighborhood. But I, as a company, everyone is really committed to when they see something, they let me know, you know, and sometimes they have a chip and we get them back to where they came from. But that's probably happened twice out of 130. But everybody's really invested in this. And so even if it's not around the distillery, if it's even near and we see a dog in danger or a dog wandering, we at least pick them up and get them checked out. So I've learned a lot about microchips.
Yeah. Also very important. So if you're rescuing a new animal, please get the microchip. It's so important so they can find their way back to you. Yeah. If they should get lost. Such an important thing. Do you have any success stories other than the distillery dogs that have come to stay with you? Any success stories of any of the dogs that you want to share with us that you, off the top of your head? No pressure.
I outside of our distillery dogs, just getting into really great homes.
Yeah.
I don't know. We do some really amazing, you know, we get to participate in some really incredible events, and we've got one in 2 weeks called the Surfing Dog Contest of Galveston. And so we'd love to go down there and see all the dogs surf. And we usually give out like a spirit award, you know, to one that maybe didn't win, but had something special about them. So that's one of my favorite things that we do all year. It's just so unique and so happy. And it's very early in the morning, so it's cool enough out. And it's just a spectacle. It's just beautiful to see these dogs. Yeah. They love it. You wouldn't think. And I think even a cat showed up once. So
really?
Yes. Yes.
There, and I feel like I did see a video once of a cat surfing, and I could be completely wrong about this.
Yeah. And I think too, some of our successes in working out that dog culture in an office and then, you know, writing up policy and being able to share that with other companies, that's been really fulfilling, you know, to kind of, and also just meet the other companies. Like I've gone to other companies and visited to see what they're doing, to see if we can incorporate anything. So that's been really fulfilling too. And, you know, we missed it with the pandemic because we, you know, couldn't be together and our dogs couldn't be together. And so we're sort of coming back together again and hoping, you know, that there's another burst of inspiration for everyone, you know, maybe to entice everyone to come back, more will go dog friendly.
Right. Being come back to the workplace, you mean, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to think of a lot more perks now, right?
Yeah. You got to reel them in when they got used to being at home on their own. Yeah, for sure. I know you guys partnered with Bissell and they're also doing some good work in the pet space as well.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a bit about that? Yeah.
I would love to. I'm such a fan of Kathy Bissell and her, you know, just the ingenuity of focusing on pet owners and us constantly having to clean. Right. So it was my dream. It was my dream to work with her foundation, and someone that I worked with from another group got hired, you know, at Kathy's and notified me. And I was like, hallelujah, maybe we can do this. We can do something. Well, it turns out that Kathy's philosophies on how to help line up exactly with ours. And it's just been so nice to have another person in there to collaborate with like that. So we've been working with her a few years now on doing like emergency transports of dogs from overcrowding situations and different things and some spay neuter clinics. But then we came up with this, basically a fanny pack, but it's for dog walking and it holds Tito's minis or anything small that you want to put in the loop. It holds a cup and pet supplies. And, it's like a bandolier and we call it the Walktail Pack and you can order it online and the proceeds go to Bissell Pet Foundation so that we can do more with them. And, so a few weeks ago, she has these incredible events during the summer called Blocktail. And I finally got to go and meet her in person and it was, it was such, it meant so much to me. And she just, those events were incredible. I can't wait to go to the next one. So that's been just so fulfilling to see this, come to, you know, an actual item, you know, that will help us do more. But also just to finally be in person and working. So we are, helping her with a spay neuter clinic in Puerto Rico in August.
Okay. Great.
And hoping to get 1,500 pets fixed because the spay neuter kind of stopped there too during the pandemic. So we need to pick that back up. So.
Right. That's so great. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah.
I had a question for you and it just went right out my brain, which happens. What was it? It was, what do you guys see for the future? Like, are there any big plans for the future and where you guys want to go with all of the philanthropic work that you do, or just continue on in the great work that you do day by day?
We've kind of had day by day, although I feel like some of the partnerships and people we met really on Zoom during the pandemic, like that was a time where we could really focus on big picture stuff because we weren't in person, you know, with minutia, and we couldn't do events. So I feel like the people I met, it's like Kathy Bissell, like those things are starting to come together now. And I just feel like there's strength in numbers and we're sharing information and brainstorming more solutions and people are still pivoting into things that need to be done. So I feel like it is the worst of times, but it's also becoming really great with the right people coming together. So I have hope, but this is, like you were saying about LA, this, even Austin, like we're really struggling now. We're really, things are so bad because things weren't getting done during the pandemic, really. It's just everything colliding at once. So
is that a huge part of the of why we're having such an influx?
Yes. Well, one of the reasons I believe is that they didn't do a lot of spay neuter because they were saving the PPE for human beings. I think that was part of it.
And then some of it never would have occurred to me.
Yeah. And I think some of it was also, possibly funding. I think that the funding dropped off, and I think staff, they had to lay people off. So again, it's just so many factors. And then also people getting evicted.
Yeah.
I think it was all of those things. And then add the vet shortage. It's just, and not
and
enough
the
vets
cost for of spaying the and pets. Neutering.
Exactly. The cost and the waiting list.
To spay and neuter your pet is like $600 or something like that in some places.
Yes.
It's insane. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So this is what happens when all of that falls apart. And so now we're all just scrambling to try and get all the funding to pay the doctors and get everybody scheduled.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Again.
So, we're just kicking that into overdrive and hopefully we can see some kind of traction in the next few years and get back to better than before. But all we can do is hope and spread the word about it, that's something that we all need to be conscious of.
Right. And the ultimate vision is to have no more homeless pets. Is that the ultimate vision?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I know rescue is always a sweet story, but it's like, that will never end until we get the population under control.
Right. Right. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know about the work that you guys do in animal welfare?
Sure, sure. You can. So we sell a bunch of Pet Tito's merch on the website and in our retail store. And whenever people send in pictures of their pets with any of those items, they have a chance to be featured on our Instagram. Our Instagram is really just people celebrating their pets and Tito's. So, that's one really fun way to participate is to show us your animals and to just be on the lookout to see if there's ever events at, dog friendly, establishments to see if we're involved there. That's another way to help. And, you can always check our Facebook. If there's something big that we're trying to do, a matching campaign for disaster or something, it will be there as well. So that's some of the ways you can keep up with us.
So much great, great, great work.
And I want to say too, that, even though my department handles the animal philanthropy, Tito's itself, like all of us, they're doing, even more, much more on the human side and the science side of things. And, it's vast and Tito's, really passionate about that being the core of our mission. We kind of call ourselves like a philanthropy company that sells vodka on the side. Sometimes
that's how it feels. A great way to look at it. Yeah. I had no idea when I was looking over everything, I was so impressed.
Yeah. So anyone that goes on titosvodka.com, our philanthropy program is called Love Tito's and there will always be lots of stuff going on there for people to see.
Well, thank you, Beth. This was a lovely chat.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Beru Podcast. If you're enjoying the episodes, as always, please don't forget to rate and follow the Beru Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at Beru Podcast. And if you have a story of canine companionship that you want to share with me, or a question, or even a comment, I would love to hear from you. You can email me, Charlotte@thebaru.com. All right, you guys, let's chat soon.